Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 11th, 2013, and I know a number of you are tuned in just to pick up some tickets, whether it's to the Blue Man Group or to the movie that's coming to the Savoy 16 Theater, A Strange Brand of Happy. We've been talking about that the last few days through special interviews, one on Monday with Philip Sarnecki, who's the executive producer, which means he financed a lot of the film and helped behind the scenes raise some capital. And he had a good interview and a testimony of how he was a local boy that's done well. He grew up in the Homer-Ogden area, attended the University of Illinois. He's now helping bring A Strange Brand of Happy to the Savoy 16 Theater, and we'll have a ticket giveaway in just a minute. And also the Blue Man Group, which is coming to the State Farm Center on Thursday and Friday, September 19th and 20th. And so at the end of the program, we'll have a call-in for some Blue Man Group tickets. They're $44 each, and it's a colorful, hard to describe presentation. I mean, those Blue Man Group, you probably, yeah, most all of you have seen them in a commercial or seen a YouTube or a highlight, but it's hard to describe exactly what they do. It's one of these multimedia presentations with music, with activity, with everything from paint being splashed around to marshmallows being thrown in the air and caught in their mouths. Oh, it's just, it's entertaining. It's high octane, so we'll have some ticket giveaways at the end of the program. And yesterday, if you tuned in, it was kind of an unusual program, testimony time. I had a recorded interview with Rebecca St. James, which initially I thought had a host, and he asked questions, and Rebecca replied and answered each of the various questions. And when I got all set to broadcast it, I realized that it was just her answers. And so I had to quickly listen to what her answers were and formulate questions. And so if you tuned in yesterday after the technical glitch, you would have heard that program. And I posted a lot of photographs of Rebecca St. James and some of the cast members of A Strange Brand of Happy. And that's coming to the Savoy 16 Theater this Friday through the next week. And actually, Jason, why don't we right now, the first and fifth caller to 217-367-7777 can get a pair of tickets to this weekend's edition of A Strange Brand of Happy. Karen knows how many tickets we have left for the Friday night, Saturday matinee, Saturday night, Sunday matinee, and Sunday night viewings. And so when you call in, if you're the first or fifth, you'll have some options to choose from. So right now, 217-367-7777. And the Blue Man tickets we'll give at the end of the broadcast. And like I said, these are lower C-section seats, which are $44 each. So if you want to see the Blue Man Group, we'll have a pair of tickets at the end of the broadcast. Two other quick little updates. Our meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant is coming together. We're excited about that gathering on Tuesday, September 24th, between 5 and 7 p.m. We have a number of authors that will be in attendance. And I think Penny, I don't know if you know this, Jason, I talked with her this past Sunday, and she's going to bring some of her homemade jewelry.
Oh,
Penny
excellent.
Thompson. She's excited about that. She's been at a prior meet and greet. We have Dr. David Webb and his daughter, who is Dr. Christine Henricks. And they wrote a book a few years ago. They'll be there greeting you and signing their books. And then Dolly Redden, our 92-and-a-half-year-old senior saint, she's going to be there, and some other authors and people I'm working with in the next week or two. So that meet and greet is being held at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign on Tuesday, September 24th, between 5 and 7 p.m. And everyone that shows up, just say Great News Radio. They'll put a little sticker on you, our God Listens, You Can Too sticker, right at the front door. They'll guide you to the, I guess you would call it, the west end of the restaurant, and hopefully we'll fill up that whole section, and the meet and greet where all the authors will be in their back little, if you will, banquet room that can accommodate a number of people. So that's all happening on Tuesday, September 24th. No need to RSVP. Just show up with a good attitude and disposition. We'll feed you well. I'll greet you. Nobody sits alone, so if you're single or widowed or for whatever reason your spouse can't make it, I'll introduce you to other Great News Radio listeners. Maybe I'll run around and fill up everyone's water. I've assisted tasted in the past. They gave me an apron, and I was all set up in my Olive Garden outfit. And we'll serve you really well on that 24th, that Tuesday night. Invite any friends and family members. Everyone will get the dinner discount, and that'll happen between 5 and 7 p.m. And then our special testimony and worship night. Hey, you can take a little nap, Jason. Jason's all fired up. He'll be sharing in just a second here.
But, I'm waiting.
Yeah, biting at the bit. But we'll have a special campfire testimony and worship night at the Burns Homestead here. So some of you that have always wondered about how this studio works out of my home and how that all comes together, we'll do some little showings of the studio. And then from 5:30 to 7:30, we'll have three special testimonies along with Debbie Phillips leading worship. You're in for a real treat. She's just a great worship leader, very talented in song, and she'll have her keyboard with her, and she'll kind of transition between our three special testimonies, which will include one by Dr. David Webb, so we so appreciate him carving out the time to be available, and then Dolly Redden, the 92-and-a-half-year-old senior saint, she'll be coming, and one other special guest, so that'll all be happening on Saturday, September 28th, between 5:30 and 7:30, but if you want to get here early and walk the nature trail, or see the tree fort I've talked about, or maybe even jump in one of my kayaks or canoes and float on the slow-moving Sangamon River that's about a foot deep right now, you can do that. Just show up early and bring a chair or a blanket, because we won't have the big tent and the big setup this time. But we will have desserts available, and if you want to bring a dessert or two or some fruit or a snack to share, we'll set up a little area where everyone can enjoy some food, and I'll have beverages, refreshments. I'll have some Pepsi and some tea and lemonade available. And that's all happening Saturday, September 28th. It would be a great event if you have an unchurched friend or neighbor or somebody that's maybe seeking after God. These three testimonies will be very God-honoring, and hopefully we'll turn it into a real revival kind of situation around a campfire. And it'll be out in the woods here on my beautiful, lovely 8 acres. Well, I guess four of them are on this side of the river. So we'll fill up the yard. Lots of parking across the street. Thank you, God, for my neighbor that's agreed to allow people to park anytime. And I'll also have signs set up from 150 through the country roads and also on Route 47. But if you need directions or more specifics, just call the station, and Karen can email those out, or we can make sure we mail them to you. But the event, it's called Testimony and Worship at the Campfire, September 28th, 5:30 to 7:30. And if there's rain or inclement weather, or for whatever reason we need to go to our backup plan, it'll be held at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, right on Route 47, and we'll include that on the announcement if you need directions and so forth, how to also get to the Community Evangelical Free Church if it rains or we need a backup plan. Maybe there's pending rain or something and we just choose to move it over there. But that's all coming together Saturday, September 28th, 5:30 to 7:30. No need to RSVP, but if you want to bring a treat, nobody will be turned away. So, Jason, what's the Lord been teaching you lately?
Oh, boy. What's he been teaching me? What's he not been teaching me? Oh, my gosh. Well, I was just reading this morning, and I thought it was really interesting. I just kind of flipped it open. I couldn't sleep this morning, so I was up at like 5. It's in 1 Thessalonians, and it's chapter 3, but it actually begins earlier than chapter 3. And some real great lessons that I think the Lord gives us in how we look at others, how we look at ourselves, and how we look at all of that through Him. I spoke at Sunday morning in our service at the church about my thought that the most important thing that we have as a Christian, beyond our salvation, and obviously our salvation is the most important thing that we have as a Christian, it's what makes us Christians, but our awe of God, because it's our awe of God that keeps us in that right place. When God is bigger than everything else, when God is bigger than me and my human heart. Because I think that oftentimes what happens is we become very familiar with God. We become very familiar with church. And suddenly church becomes something that we do every single week. We do it for that hour. It becomes so familiar where we sit in church. I mean, when you come in church, do you sit in the same seat that you always sit in? That's because of your familiarity. You love that. And does it really upset you when you have to sit in a new seat because you're so familiar? You're used to watching things from that perspective and that place. You're so comfortable with that. There's a big term we use for that called spiritual lethargy, which means that we basically become kind of, we fall asleep almost because we trust the situation so much that we don't engage the situation. We simply kind of become neutral. Instead of leaning into it, we kind of are static. But what happens is is then we take that and the power and the prominence of what that was, and we kind of file it with everything else. I mean, it suddenly everything has the same kind of currency or economy in our lives. You know, it's sort of like, say you're driving down the road for the first time. Say you take a different route to go somewhere. And as you're driving down the road, you're like, oh my gosh, look at that bridge and look at those trees. And oh my God, I never, look at that house. That's a great house. You know, I mean, suddenly it's like a new way and a new, and it's an adventure. Well, you know what? The first time, it's an adventure. The 20th time, you're trying to get somewhere. You're not even looking around. You're frustrated by the traffic. Suddenly it's not about the newness, because the newness is worn off and now familiarity has crept in, and now your car trip is no longer fun, but now it's familiar and it gets a place filed away with everything else. Just another thing I have to do to get through my week. And I think that we do that often with God. I think that we do that a lot in our relationship with Him. I think that we take the things of God and we kind of file them away with everything else, because everything is competing with our time and competing for our time.
And there's that comment, what you don't use, you lose. And it's like even sharing our testimony. If we're not sharing it on an ongoing basis, it becomes kind of stale. And, oh, yeah, I forgot about how God used such a unique circumstance or situation to draw me to Himself. And it's not fresh any longer. It becomes stale.
Yeah. And not only do you lose what you don't use, but then you can't give what you don't have. And so what happens is, because we don't have the awe of God, God isn't huge and big, and we're like, wow, the Lord is the King of Kings, the King of all things. Suddenly now we lose that, and then we can't share it. You know, and so when we meet people who don't know Jesus, we're talking about Jesus in terms like we're talking about paying our bills. Or we're talking about Jesus in terms like, well, you should come because we have empty seats at the church. Not like you should come because it's going to be a life-changing moment for you. He's going to transform and change your entire life. The old is going to be gone and the new is going to be here. I mean, do you talk about Jesus with people in those terms? Or do you talk about Jesus like in terms of kind of transactional? You know, sort of like you're buying something, or you're getting somebody to buy something, you're getting somebody to come to the show. Instead of communicating Jesus with such a sense of awe, that there's nothing else in that moment.
And you're being fed on an ongoing basis each and every Sunday. It's not like, hey, you know, you need Jesus. It's like, I need Jesus. And this past Sunday through the pastor's message, it really brought conviction and change. And wow, I fell in love with Him anew because I realized through the scriptural text that He cares for me. And so it's living and active, you know, right, like God's Word. It's not this stale, redundant, old thing that you went through and now you want to bring somebody else on board.
Well, you know what? And some of that is too reliant on your spiritual practices. John Piper sent a message yesterday I thought was a really great quote, and it said, if you don't read God's Word all week, then how can you expect to marvel at being preached God's Word on Sunday? Which is so true. If we don't interact with God's Word, we're going to go, and how are we going to really receive God's Word on a Sunday morning? So we need to be in God's Word consistently. And it's in God's Word that we have this awe of God. I mean, I read God's Word and I'm like, wow, I cannot believe that how totally different and other He is than me. He's nothing like me. And thank goodness He is nothing like me. Thank goodness that Jesus doesn't come to me and try to conform to my image, but instead Jesus wants to conform me into His image, because His image is totally different. His image has forgiveness and love and grace and mercy and all the things that, let's be honest, we just do okay. We just do okay. We don't do forgiveness real well. We kind of tuck it away somewhere in our heart and say, please don't do that again, because then we're going to let loose everything. We do love the best we can, but we sometimes, you know, I'll love you if you do X, Y, and Z.
And we do okay on our best days.
Oh, yeah. And these are our best days. I mean, the same with mercy. I mean, mercy, we love mercy if we get to talk about it later. The church loves to serve if it gets to talk about it later. But would the church serve the same if the church never got to tell the story about how it served?
Yeah, yeah.
Never got to let it be a part of the newsletter or the video feed or whatever else it was doing. But in Thessalonians, Paul says some pretty fascinating things, I think. First of all, he's writing this letter to the Thessalonians. And if we read Acts chapter 17, Paul's time in Thessalonica is not very good. I mean, Paul goes there and things are pretty rough and things are pretty messed up. And there's a bunch of Jews who kind of rise up and they want to persecute him. In fact, so much so that Paul and Timothy and Silas, they head down to Berea. And those Jews in Thessalonica find out that they're in Berea, so they make the journey. Look, in these days, you didn't just jump in the car and drive down. It took a lot to get ready to make a journey. And so these guys feel so adamant about Paul and their disdain for Paul that they plan a trip down to Berea to agitate and cause more trouble. So Paul's time in Thessalonica was not very good at all. In fact, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he says in the beginning of chapter 3, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens." When he says that, he's saying, we thought it was good that we weren't going to be anywhere near you guys.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be good that we weren't going to be around you guys, because you guys were real frustrating. You guys were really tough. But you know what's really funny? Think about how God works in his infinite wisdom. He sends Paul to Athens, and there in Athens it says that Paul, he looked around and he was, you know, he was provoked by all the, greatly distressed by all the idols he saw. He goes, you know what, those guys really frustrated me. Wait, these guys are frustrating me here too. I mean, everywhere that Paul goes, he's being frustrated. So it wasn't that the Thessalonians were necessarily bad. They were just different. You know, he went to Athens and it was another way. But he said that he went down there. And prior to that, he says that he made every effort to come back and see them. You know, I think he did, but Satan kept keeping him from coming there. And I think that Satan, what we don't get to see is a big picture of how Satan did that. But you know what I think, how he did that? I think one way, injecting some of my humanity, I think it was reminding him of how frustrating the Thessalonians were, reminding him of how frustrating those situations were. However it was, Satan kept him from going there. But you know what I love? The Bible does this over and over and over again, is Satan keeps him from going somewhere, but God takes that, and not only does he use it for, he doesn't waste a thing, he uses it for his glory, but he multiplies it for his glory. Because Paul couldn't go there, what did he do? He wrote two letters to him, two letters that survive to this day, that we're able to see the character, picture, image, and the glory of God at work through Paul and through this early church. What's the second way that God multiplied it out? Timothy remained. Timothy remained in Berea with Silas, and Paul went down to Athens. So Timothy was getting his disciple-making mission sharpened. He was growing in grace and knowledge. He was growing by having to deal with these tough situations. And it also paints us a picture for Timothy, too, that he had to have been leaning into the Lord in great ways because he perseveres through it. I mean, this was a rough moment. I mean, it says in Acts they came down to agitate the people in Berea. And so Timothy would have been in the midst of a pretty tense situation, and he stood firm.
And how lifelike this is. Here's Paul. Now, I'm projecting some of my humanity
sure.
into this, but here's Paul maybe praying, oh, Lord, I'm really frustrated. Move me out of here. And he goes to another place where it's just as equally frustrating.
Sure.
So really, maybe a life lesson is, hey, don't necessarily pray yourself out of the frustration. Just pray that God will give you the strength or the wherewithal to deal wherever you're at. Because there's people today that are probably tuned in that are very frustrated with their job, with their boss, with their life circumstances. And it's not necessarily God's way to just move them out of that.
Yeah. How about this? There's nothing that's necessarily different. It's just a different kind of different. You don't go to a new job and everything that was bad about the old job is erased. There are some of those things that are the same. Just the surroundings change. You know what? What's funny is what in the equation. Say today you're frustrated with your job. And say today you say, you know what? I'm not going to put up any more with being frustrated with my job. If I'm frustrated, I'm going to get a new job. And you go and you get a new job. And tomorrow you're frustrated again, so you go and you get another new job. And 2 weeks from that, you're frustrated again and you go and get a new job. And 2 weeks after that, you're frustrated again and you go and get a new job. Let me just share with you an insight. What in that equation is the same?
Yeah.
You.
Yes.
You. Yeah, look at James says in chapter 4, he says, why are there so many quarrels and problems with you guys? He says, it's because of the desires that battle inside of you. It's you. It's not necessarily everybody else. It's you. And if you gain this kind of, I'm doing it for the Lord, I'm going to bring glory to God no matter where I'm at. I mean, Paul was getting stoned. He was dealing with idols all around. He was dealing with people who were trying to agitate him left and right. And by the way, Paul's agitation, the agitation of the Jews, was not you at work where somebody hands you some papers and they give you a sideways smile or they don't call you back in time or they don't answer your email in the tone and tenor you want. The agitation that came here were people who were walking along with stones in their hands to throw them at him, physically trying to kill him and agitate him and put him to death, the same as they did with Jesus. But what does he say as he goes on here? He goes up in chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, for now we really live, since we're standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? He says, you know what? When I turned it over to God and I turned towards God, I found joy in you. I couldn't find that before because there was a lot of me going on. But when I turned towards the Lord and turned it over to the Lord, I was able to find joy in you. And not only that, but what does he go on to say when we get to verse 11? Now may our God and our Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Look, he's turned everything over to the Lord. He's turned over how he feels about these people, his circumstances, his situation. He says the only one who's going to clear the path for me to come to you is going to be the Lord. It's going to be the Lord. It's no one else. And look at, notice in verse 11, in verse 12, and verse 13, he says, may our God, may the Lord, may he strengthen. He's saying, may the Lord do it. May he release it. Only he has the power to release it. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. He goes, when I turned it over to the Lord, my joy and my love for you couldn't help but overflow. And you'll have the same thing. Look at, Paul says, you know what? I want to correct your agitation. I want to correct your tension. I want to correct your position. But the only way that'll happen is when it goes to the Lord. It doesn't come through me. I can't correct that kind of a thing, but the Lord can. And if we give it over to the Lord, may he strengthen, may he help me forgive, may he help me do these things. Then that's when the true strengthening and perseverance of the saints and the forgiveness that'll come. It comes through love. Why did Paul say that the greatest of these is love? Because in order to do love, in order to really do love, you have to look at the Father first. You can't look at each other. If you're trying to love on your own right now, it's a pale comparison to what true love is, because you have to turn it over and turn towards God. He's the author and the perfecter, Scripture says, of all things. And so therefore, to define what those things truly are and to be able to do them, we have to go to God and we have to give it to God.
Yeah, there's that bumper sticker that says, let go and let God. And it's really that surrendering. It's taking ourselves out of the place of being in control and surrendering it all over to Father God. And I love how he closes out that portion of chapter 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus, very personal, intimate relationship Paul had with Almighty God. And everyone that's tuned in today can have that same relationship, yeah, as they draw near to God. And he'll draw near to you. We're out of time. SR News won't rate, but we're glad you're part of our radio listening family. And right now, because of these Blue Man tickets, shoot, terrible transition here, Jason, but I did promise I'd give away a few little tickets to the Blue Man Group.
Come to the Lord Jesus and Blue Man Group.
Yeah. So right now, the fifth caller, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, two tickets to the Blue Man Group coming to the State Farm Center on Thursday, September 19th. 7:30 presentation. Call now. Fifth caller, 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Joey Crowell will be tomorrow, and Friday, Jason and I will have a special interview with Joe Boyd. He's the president of Rebel Pilgrim Productions, the producer of A Strange Brand of Happy, and he's also one of the lead actors in that film that's coming to the Savoy 16 Theater, and there'll be ticket giveaways. So thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great day.